hell is that noise? Monster Hunter Wilds?
Gaijin!
Shields up, Ironbreakers. Welcome back to another episode of the Third Fleet Podcast. I genuinely do not know what episode this is. I think it's either 77 or 80, but I'm sure it'll be on the title. This is a this is a very impromptu recording here because, you know, we had the reveal yesterday of Monster Hunter Wilds.
Today in Japan, at least.
Oh, yeah, today in Japan, I guess. First and foremost, we haven't done this in a while. It's like, because me and Gaijin, we keep in touch, but I forget that you guys don't hear from Gaijin for so long. So how have you been doing, Gaijin?
I exist, so. No, I'm okay. Like, you know, we always talk about old man stuff when we start, and I'm fighting a cold. So if I sound like I've got something stuffed up my nose or something, or if I cough, you know why. But things are good. It's getting towards the end of the year, so it's been busy, but, you know, I can't complain.
It's most definitely the two old man podcast because you have, you're fighting your cold. I'm fighting some kind of a stomach bug that I got, which might even be viral. So I'm like, I'm in isolation right now, and I just feel terrible. I don't feel good at all. But I still forced myself to do the live stream yesterday for the Game Awards. I always do the Game Awards because it's one of those things where a lot of people, they say that they don't like the show and they say that the show is too long and, you know, whatever. And to me, it's like, it's just a fun thing to watch. Regardless of who wins, who loses, it's just a fun thing to watch. But one of the things that I did not expect was, number one, to get Monster Hunter, because even though I put on the title, hey, maybe Monster Hunter 6, I did not know that that was going to happen. So I wasn't really expecting it. I mean, I kind of feel like we called it in previous podcasts, though. We did say that this would be the best stage for them to unveil a new one.
To do a sneak preview, so to say, just to announce it, reveal it. And I think once Dragon's Dogma 2 was announced for March, we were both like, okay, this is definitely not coming out like in the next year, because they've got to keep it clear for Dragon's Dogma. I would have thought that they would be aiming for spring for some information on it, but I guess it's just really bad timing that they're releasing Dragon's Dogma 2 right on top of the anniversary for Monster Hunter. So it's like, you don't want to take away all the energy of the release of Dogma 2 to be talking about a new Monster Hunter. So I guess it made perfect sense for them to just get it out now, say that they're not going to be talking about it in the spring, which is ballsy, and say it's gonna be a summer. At least it takes the focus off of it for now, and let's us talk and discourse and get hyped. But it keeps everybody grounded, right? We know it's not coming out next year. You could spend your hard earned money on Dragon's Dogma 2. You can play it all year. You're not gonna have any schedule conflicts with Monster Hunter 6. It's all good.
You're not going to have schedules with Monster Hunter, but you're going to have plenty of schedule conflicts with other things. But
yeah. Hey, it is what it is.
There's tons. Like, 2024 is shaping out to be a pretty great year as well from all of the news that we heard. But one of the things that I got to ask is, like, so considering that they said we're only going to be talking about this game in summer, but the anniversary for Monster Hunter is going to be in March.
Yep.
So what are they going to be talking about in March?
Monster Hunter now?
Oh, no. God, no. Not like this. No, it got me wondering if you think it is, like, again, this is something that they would have never done before. A potential HD remaster of one of the old games? I mean, they've been doing them to Resident Evil. They've been doing it to Resident Evil, man. It's time to prop up that RE engine and give us Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate. Let's go.
I mean, they should, yeah. I agree. At this point, like, they know they've already broken mainstream, right? So they know that World and Rise of Sunbreak and the next big one are going to be mainstream, popular, big games, so they can let it cook. They don't have to worry about some weird, obscure, niche, kind of old Monster Hunter getting out there, and then there being confusion over, oh, this is what the series is? Well, it's not my thing. Because, you know, it's been dispelled, so I think it's the perfect time for them to, I don't care if they outsource it, just, like, give the fans something for the anniversary. I think it would be perfect to do, like, you know, even if they make a concession and say, you know what, I think it should be on all consoles, but they say, you know, we'll just do it for the Switch or whatever. I don't care. I think they really should do
something for 4 Ultimate,
something,
right?
I think 4 Ultimate would be a good title. I think 3...
Out of all of them, of course, but
if you're
going to
choose
ones,
one, 4 Ultimate is the one.
4 Ultimate is the one to choose, I agree.
And I think an anniversary sort of thing, just say, hey, we're going to release this, would be kind of cool. But again, Dragon's Dogma coming out in March.
Here's the thing. They don't have to release it.
It'd be cool
if
they announce it.
They don't
have
to release it in March, but they could, like, you know, announce, oh, by the way, I don't know, fall 2024, boom, Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate returns. I think that would be amazing, but this is purely conjecture. There's nothing that points towards this, right?
There's two other things I would, And there's other things that I would, I mean, the only thing is now we can speculate like crazy because we know that Monster Hunter Wilds won't be there.
Yeah.
I think, you know, they'll probably do a bigger blowout for, like, the U.S. anniversary, but, like, for the Japanese one, no. So it makes me think, I'm like, if they're not going to do, I'm sure they're going to have some type of product, right? It can't just be consumer goods and, like, an anniversary video that they'll strike everybody for using. Like, it's got to be something, right? So, like, I'm thinking, you know, like, Stories 3 would be awesome. Yes, please. I don't know how Stories 2 sold, though.
I think it's a little bit early for Stories 3, no? Stories 2,
I don't know.
Was it like...
I mean,
oh, no,
it depends
like
on how much
ago.
They... It depends on how much they want to cook when it comes to Wilds, which we'll get into. But, like, I don't think it... You know, is it going to be a January or a November release, basically? I don't see it being anywhere in between that. But, I mean, who knows? But it depends on where they want it to fall, right? So I think they're probably going to be looking at investor impressions... Obviously, they're probably gauging where they're at in development. It's still, they're still in the middle of it. I mean, it's far along, but it's not like super far along. So
we'll have to see. But it's,
you
it's,
know, I still say I really want Feline Village Deluxe, a new one. I adored that game. Like, seriously,
that was the one,
like,
that was made by From Software, right?
Yeah, and if, like, you know, Bandai Namco can't fund a proper budget or schedule to get Elden Ring DLC out, fill the gap. Come on. Give us Feline Village Deluxe Remastered.
See,
HD.
I was actually relieved that they didn't announce Elden Ring DLC at the Game Awards, and I know that people are going to fall on top of me because they don't understand, a lot of people don't understand the creator struggle that is when you have two games right on top of each other, and it sucks because you want to enjoy one, but you need to cover both, and it's just like a complete and absolute hassle.
Well, like, even more than Dark Souls and Bloodborne, I think the pressure on them to deliver is so high.
Oh, yeah.
Because Elden Ring's success is... I mean, it's got to be their best-selling game yet, right? I don't know. I never looked at the figures, but...
I don't know, but I would assume it would be pretty close to that, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, they can afford to take the time to cook it, right?
Yeah. And it's like, again, I was just happy that it's not releasing in that February March zone, because there's a lot of games that I want to play in that zone. And as a matter of fact, like, they just yesterday they announced Rise of Ronin at the exact same release date as Dragon's Dogma 2, which Rise of Ronin is kind of like Neo almost. It's by Koei Tecmo as well, and I was like, bro, really? Literally same day? Sorry. Dragon's Dogma. Sorry. Dragon's Dogma, man. It's like, it's not Dragon's Dogma. But getting back to Monster Hunter Wilds. So
Yes.
Number one, that thing got the most prestigious spot of the Game Awards. Oh, yeah. Which
right after all the advertisements and everything. Right before the final award.
Yeah. For people that don't know, like that, you know, when you have these types of shows, usually you have the two, I would say that the two most important games that the people organizing the show, the two most important games that they usually consider is like the first one. And the Game Awards usually I feel like they don't pay that much attention to the first one. It's usually not that big a deal. But traditionally, in most shows, like, the say, for instance, yeah, Nintendo Direct and, you know, that type of stuff, you usually get the first game, which is usually an important one, and then the last one, which is the most important one. And for
it's the
Monster
Steve
Hunter
Jobs method, you know?
Yeah.
One more thing.
And Monster Hunter Wilds being the final thing to be shown right before the game of the year, bro, that was huge. Massive.
That's called visibility.
Yeah, that because like that's what they consider this is the most important announcement that we have for you. Boom, here you go.
And that I don't know if you massive. Caught it when he was on the stage with Jeff Keighley, who was his makeup artist is amazing. Like, because I know the man's old now, and like you see pictures of him and he's aged, but like on stage he looks like he was 20 years ago.
Young.
Like,
yeah,
his makeup artist is amazing. My God, but like, there was an interesting tonal thing that he had going on with his word choice, because he was like, so when are we going to be able to play it? Like, I mean, he was egging it on like there was going to be a demo or something coming out. Like, I'm like, what? What is he talking about? Like, when? So you're going to tell them when they can get their hands on this? I'm just like, wait, what? Is he talking about a demo or something? Because he saw it. Apparently, they invited him to play it in September, and he was like super blown away.
How?
I don't know whether he got the wrong impression because maybe they had a really strong demo with him and then it's months later. So he's thinking, hey, man, people are going to be able to get an early hands on with this thing. But like it was a really weird, and they completely ignored him when they answered in Japanese. Like they glossed right over it and just said their PR message.
Yeah, but, like, I noticed. I definitely noticed there was a disconnect between the question that was asked in the actual response, because the trailer clearly says...
This is a weird question.
Yeah, the trailer clearly says 2025, and then, oh man, tell us more. When are people going to be able to get their hands on it? And basically,
so
they do a PR
thing. When are we
going
to be able to play it?
And it's like, 2025. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it was really awkward, but maybe he was just tired, but...
So that actually
got me... Yeah, so like, I was going to ask you, like, how long into the trailer did it take you to notice and really, like, go, oh, okay, that's Monster Hunter? But you noticed so fast, it was ridiculous.
I mean, no, it was, for me, I'm assuming you watched my
stream.
Yeah, so for me, the way that it went was, like, the first picture I saw, I was like, it's Monster Hunter. It's 100% Monster Hunter. Like, literally, the first frame, you can see that my face goes, ugh! And then the problem was the music...
Music.
It is very
really
different. It was very different to start. So when the music started kicking up, I was like,
even midway, I was like,
No,
wait,
not. Yeah, when the music kicked up, I was like, oh, that's not Monster Hunter because of the music. And then eventually, you see the frontal shot of the hunter riding the thing, and I was like, nope, that's Monster Hunter. Yep, that's 1,000,000%. There's no question about it. So yeah, so my face goes like, It's like just getting completely excited about it. Yeah. I was actually just thinking now, when, because you were saying that Jeff could potentially be thinking about people getting their hands on the game, could that maybe symbolize that they have like beta plans or something? I was thinking about how long it was since the first beta in Monster Hunter World and the eventual release, but I'm just looking at something, some really old picture, because I don't know what those dates were.
That was more of
that
a
was like a
sales
month
measure than anything.
Yeah, it was more like a month apart. So,
yeah, maybe he was just high.
Yeah, I don't know what was happening there, but I'm just in the camp of let them cook. I've seen a lot of people say, "Oh my God, 2025 is like, bro. It's not like we don't have a ton of stuff to play. There's so many things to play." It's insane.
Yeah.
And it's like,
and
just let him
cook. You know, it's good to see that Sony didn't put their damn grubby hands all over it to get some, like, year exclusive with PC coming later. Like, I'm so sick of that format.
I mean, they,
at this point.
They said it. Some people were actually asking, oh, they did announce PC, but PC might come later. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, because they've said it in the past. Like, there was some interview that they've
PC
said.
PC is their...
PC
yeah,
is
their,
gonna
their
be...
top COO is, like, that's their main pleading platform, and that's what's selling the most.
And I think
they have PC, Xbox SX, and PS5, and you know, by 2025, the not only I think they have like the successor now to the RE engine, right? So like things are getting mature, so they're gonna be able to do a lot. Like I could tell from the trailer,
The
at least like with
successor?
performance and stuff, I thought they had a successor to the RE engine, like a new version of it.
I mean, there might be a new version, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just thinking like, 2025 is going to be a mature year for the current consoles. I know it doesn't feel like they've been out for long, but
Yeah.
that's the nature of the last 5 years or whatever. So like, I think it's going to be a good time. Like, I think the tech will be brushed up. They'll be able to optimize the living hell out of it. And it'll be a good excuse to update your PC
Oh,
around that time if you
I've
want.
already prepared. I'm ready. Let's go. My
I
PC's
know
good to go, dude.
you are good.
Dude, that computer gave me so many problems. You have no idea. So like apparently DDR5, you cannot even though the board will sit 4 dims of RAM, you're not supposed to use 4 dims of RAM on DDR5. It's
Used to,
unstable.
right?
You're just
Yeah.
supposed to do. I was like, bro, what the hell? Why does it have 4 slots then? That's so dumb. It's like you put 4 slots in there. I'm gonna budget accordingly. Like, what do you mean? But yeah, anyway. So first thing, I think this is like the biggest question of all, and that we don't really have an answer. We can speculate on it, but open
Cross
world.
save. Oh, okay.
Open
That's the
world.
question.
Before cross save and crossplay, open
You know
world.
what? I realized that when I made my video and I also said open world. I said it correctly, but I think, in the last 2 years I've been playing over 6,200 hours of FF14. I would adore a Monster Hunter MMO, like where there's organic meeting up with other players and hunters going on quests. I would love it. However, I think what they're showing us, at least what I'm feeling, is more akin to taking the Guiding Lands concept and really just blowing it the hell out.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like it's like one really big area with all the biomes connected that you can go to and probably fast travel. But it's probably gonna be like, Guiding Lands, the game. Like, not the game system, but you know what I mean, right? Like, with the connections. And then have every other biome have like this weird, what do you call it? Like, weather slash system that will change the dynamics of how things are done. Lots of environmental stuff, which I'm excited for. Like, stuff that you can't control or you can only limitedly control, I think is awesome. Like, the thing that I didn't like about like World, some of the traps in the Clutch Claw, like they were so intentional. You triggered all of them. So there really wasn't any adapting. It was just you pounding the living hell out of a monster. Now, if there's some adaption going on, that's pretty cool. But it does make me wonder because like you've got like if you got a big field with lots of monsters, like you saw how many small monsters were on the screen. I think there's like 50 on one time.
I have the
I'm
trailer
like,
playing on loop
how long is
right
it going to
next to
take to
me.
carve all that shit?
Yeah, if you're gonna be farming all of them, yeah, but it's
And
probably
also
gonna
the
be.
focus should be large monsters, so I mean like it'll be interesting. I have no idea. What do you think it'll be like?
I don't know, 'cause like in a lot of ways, I'm looking at the trailer and I'm like, yep, it definitely feels like it's gonna be open world, which would be the main reason, like, why one of the focuses of this trailer, you have to say it's the mount. It is definitely the mount. So they're focusing on
Oh yeah.
showing you're going to have this reasonably fast traversal method. You're gonna be able to glide. You're gonna be able to
Jump,
run.
glide.
You're gonna be able to do all of these things. And so that to me instantly says scale. Because you don't do a system like that just to run around a small map like in Rise or
Yeah.
Sunbreak, right? You don't really do a mount like that to do that. Even though they experimented with the Tail Riders in Iceborne, this feels much more, how should I put it?
Integral to
In
the game design.
integral, but also there's another word that I wanted to. When you something is very intentful. Damn it, I'm missing the word. It's look, I was up until 5 in the morning. I blame Jeff Keighley.
Critical center
Whatever.
stage?
Yeah,
I
yeah.
don't
It's
know. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
definitely feels like the it's much more of a center stage thing that this mount is going to provide you with a lot of means of traversal, but also means to carrying stuff. Like you see the little sleeping bag on the back. The
Yeah, the
kind of
camp
probably
stuff, right?
the camp stuff, you'll probably be able
I'm
to like
looking at
set
the
up
bow
camp.
gun, and I want to know how we have a great sword user running around with a damn bow gun.
Yeah, that is that is somebody that has fallen from grace, which is why they're not.
They've put away the weapon that is bored, and they now have the good one on their back, right?
Shout out to Femito and Angbata. I have to put them down, man. My Bogan brethren, they have to take a little bit of flack for having such a good weapon.
No, it's called fluid difficulty. You have easy mode in the bag, and then you've got normal mode on your back. And you can switch between them on the fly to adjust
the thing
your
is, they wouldn't even disagree.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
you put in the work, but and it's certainly satisfying. I'll say that.
When it comes to the multiple weapon stuff, do you think it's going to be just a bowgun, or do you? Because like, I don't see that
I
bag
put on my tinfoil hat.
I don't see that bag holding a like a full on weapon. Yeah.
I want it to be. I agree. I don't see it being that, or it might be. I don't know what it is. It's got my interest, but like.
I saw a comment, I think it was from Chaos Slayer, and he was saying that maybe this bowgun's more like a tool that assists with navigation, potentially.
Oh, God, do you think it might be one of those scenes like Horizon or like Wild Hearts where it's like
caster
like a tripwire thing? I don't want that.
I'm not against that, but I don't think it would be that, no, because it just feels like it's a bowgun. Maybe the bag changes dynamically if you have another weapon in there. Maybe it's just kind of like, okay, now it's just a strap that holds your hammer or something along those lines. I don't know where you carry...
I thought the swap scrolls were fun.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, go ahead. No, you go ahead first.
Okay, I was just saying, like, I'm not exactly sure where they're going to be putting... a gun lance's shield if it's like the secondary weapon. Like, I don't know where you'd put that in the mount. Like, I don't think you'd be able to carry that thing, but go ahead.
No, I was going to say, the skill swap system was one idea of how to add complexity and variety to a weapon, and I can change up my scrolls depending on who I'm fighting. But
skill swap or scroll swap?
The same thing to me.
No. Skill swap... Come on. No, because skill swapping, I'm talking about the thing where you could switch the skills.
Oh, no. Well, scroll swap, sorry.
Scroll swapping, yeah. Okay.
So, like, to me, that was just way too much mechanical complexity to it. I think it would be really cool. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, you're going out and you're fighting one monster. Like, I mean, not that many people go out and fight multiple monsters, right? They might if the game is open world and there's incentives to never have to go back to a camp or just make a camp.
Maybe
where you're
extra
at.
Rewards or something.
I think a good way to add variety is just let us have two damn weapons that we can swap between. Even on the fly. I don't even care if it doesn't make sense.
See, I've been thinking about that because I did that video where I talked about like my one of the features that I definitely would like to see, which is kind of like hunts that take multiple stages, whatever. So I made a video about that and I was thinking, okay, what would be the exact opposite of that, because I know that some people want it fast. They want the Devil May Cry of Monster. There's a lot of people that want that. And so while I was thinking about it, I was saying, I think that the next logic, which is interesting because I never made a video talking about this, but I remember thinking the next logical step, if you're going to speed it up more, is to have two weapons and be able to swap between two weapons. And now in the trailer, we see two weapons in the thing, which kind of like tells me that they're still going a bit the route of more fast-paced action. And not as much the more methodical hunts that, you know, of the older games. What do you think about that?
I mean, I pointed it out, but, like, he's got what looks like a compartmentalized, like, abbreviated version of the slingshot.
The slinger.
The slinger, whatever. Like, that's interesting. And also, like, the cage for the scout flies is on the hunter as well. So, like, I mean, going back to camp and being able to swap to any weapon is already a part of the game, right? So, like, but it's, like, always going back to your hub and doing it. That's what takes you out of, like, the, I'm in the middle of a hunt. I've taken X amount of potions. I'm deep in, like, I'm going to see this thing through, you know? Like, if you really want to get, not survival, but if you want to get into, like, that hunting thing, like, the whole plan and go out. The way to do it would be to let us have two weapons.
That actually, as a matter of fact, because we're thinking, for instance, at least I've been thinking of it like two different weapons. Like, you know, in the trailer, you have the greatsword and the bowgun. But what if it also allows you to take two of the same
Two
weapon?
elements.
So
Yeah.
you can just go like, okay. I mean, you know, even for
Pierce
even for
Rapid.
say, no, let's put it like this. I think that Baroth is water, and then is it fire or ice? I forget when the mud is gone. I think it's fire. I'm not
Should
100%
be
sure.
fire, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, so it's water and fire. So you're fighting a Baroth, and you bring
That'd be awesome.
your water weapon, and you're like, okay, clean out the mud. No mud. You're able to just run up to the
Swap.
mount, or call the mount over, and there's like maybe a special move where you just like stow one weapon, pull out the other one mid-combat, and then go after the monster with a different element. That is
I'm
exciting.
telling you, I don't even care if they break the believability and they just you literally just the model disappears and you flip out a new weapon. I don't care.
No,
I
no, no,
want to
no.
have I
No.
want more than one weapon. I really do.
Yeah,
Because
sure,
if
but
you're gonna
like,
make me if it's a hassle, then people will just not do it or they'll just go back to camp,
that's fine.
refresh
Too
all their
bad.
potions, then change their weapon,
No,
and
but
then there's no difference to what we have
what if
already.
there's no camp though? Because you have like all of the makings of the camp on your mount. What if you actually have to choose the things that you take extra? So there's stuff
That
that
would be
you have
awesome.
on
I
yourself,
like
and then
that.
there's some extra supplies in the mount.
Ah, that'd be cool. Like if you did like
Because
an
like
expedition
if
where
you pay
you're leaving the
attention,
HUD town for a long time and
yeah.
you get in there and you have to wait for like 10 minutes for like the weather to change, so there's an incentive to stay out in the field
Yeah.
or something. And then you're out there, but you've only got like a porta potty of a tent, you know? So like you only have like say like some emergency rations and potions and one additional weapon you could swap to, that would be really intriguing.
And the thing is, if you pay attention, like, so you have the weapon on the right side, there's another bag on the left side that could be like additional supplies that you take on this
Yeah,
other
it looks like
bag.
it's
And then you
because there's
have your
two like
own.
little pouches and then there's a
Yeah.
bigger pouch.
No,
That would be cool.
there's.
I think there's a big pouch and two little white pouches.
No, because the thing in the back is like a bedroll.
Oh, the back. Sorry, I
So
thought you
it's
said
like
the
the bedroll, and then
bag on
there's
the
the
left
weapon
side.
pouch, and then there's a bag on the left side, I think. I think that's what it is,
Yeah,
but.
there's a bag and then there's two white little pouches next to them. But yeah, I think that would be a cool idea. I just, you know, with the convenience of being able to fast travel to a camp and swap out to anything, it takes away any sense of that rewarding prep. But you
Yeah.
don't just want to take it away because that would be restrictive. So if there's a more incentive, you know, if you want to go out and just hunt one monster, like go for it. Like go to the camp, swap it, do it. But if you want to go out on an adventure and really see some rare stuff and go on for a more longer, you know, 20 minutes in, this happens, you know, like let's start going into like MMO stuff, right? Like if you kill this monster and this monster, 20 minutes later, this guy shows up, you know, like
Oh,
have some
damn.
conditions, man.
Here we go. Gaijin going full Eureka in Monster Hunter Wilds.
Oh yeah. I think it would be sweet, wouldn't it? Can you imagine like if you killed in order to get Rathalos to appear, you have to kill a Rathian or something like that. Or just like
And then Rathalos
I don't
comes
know,
in. What
there's
did you do to my wife? The hell's
or
wrong
if you
with
kill a
you?
like if you kill a Rathian, he shows up but he's like buffed or something, or he's like really frenzied or
He's
something. I
upset.
don't
Yeah,
know.
having
I
some
just
type of
anything
interactions
that's
like that.
situational would be pretty sweet.
Yeah, that sounds really good. But while we're on the topic of
They
MMOs,
give
real,
us nothing though. We're like we have
yeah,
nothing to go on
we
except
have
for like
very
this
few
little.
things. But like,
It's such reaching for the stars at this moment, but
real quick, did you see that tweet from Heyjay?
yeah, it's your fault.
Why
I
would you
love
do
the
this?
picture of like the Grim Reaper with you, and you've already cut me in pieces, and you're knocking on his door. And then he goes, "What was the quote? Like, it is what it
It
is."
is what it is. Like, Jesus Christ. And the
AJ's
worst part
about
is
to
that
become a G-posing mi-quote.
I think that considering that next year there's no Monster Hunter, like potentially
Oh
maybe
yeah, it could be it.
Ratatosker maybe even goes and tries 14 because he's been talking about it. It's
Yes,
like
Dawn Trails.
everybody's gonna
I mean,
kill me.
think about it. The whole vibe, the whole like exotic jungle, like it shares the vibe. The new expansion is going to share the same
Dawn
vibe
Trail,
with the
yeah.
wilds. So
Oh
like,
my
do
God.
it. Do it.
Oh my God. It's
It's a
insane.
game.
So
There's yeah.
another thing what that was very striking to me, and I think it was very striking to you as well, and pretty much anybody that's ever played Monster Hunter and watches this trailer, is definitely the density. the amount of like herbivores and like minor monsters is actually insane.
Yeah, I would say like from an impact standpoint, I will say that the graphical fidelity is not quite there yet, which is to be expected. Like if you go back and watch the first Monster Hunter World trailer, the reveal versus how it looked like when it came out, like there's a big jump. But the thing that they got all that stuff moving right now and just the amount of things and the scale is quite crazy. Like I would take a small downgrade in order to have more nuanced and crazy gameplay. Like give it to me.
It seems.
But I guess
seems
some people are worried maybe because they'd be like, oh, I don't need 100 troops of Kepnodons or whatever, Apentos. I just want to have that one big monster. And
but the thing is, if you pay attention, like a lot of them are running away. And if you remember, like in previous Monster Hunters, like whether that's World or Rise or even the old ones, whenever you kill one of those creatures, the other ones are going to run away. Yeah. So it's not like you're going to be there. I'm going to farm like 50 of these in one go. And no, you're going to kill like two or three and the other ones are going to run away.
Man, I was just looking at the one screenshot before like the little Haroks come in and go crazy. Like you've got like 30 of those armadillo thingies. Yeah. I'm thinking like Rory's going to go in there with his Wyvern Blast and be like, boom.
I'm going to Wyvern Fire all of them like out of existence. I'm going to be like, guys, this is what we call efficient farming. They're all just like sitting there peacefully grazing, not really doing any harm. And I'm just like, yeah, Papa wants some meat. But the other interesting thing was, if you notice, when he's running away from the Gossarog-looking dudes, there's a lot of them. There's like three or four of them in the beginning shot. And then later on, when he's fighting them in the storm, there's like two of them. So one of the things that came to mind when I saw that, I was like, huh, kind of like a rampage. I mean, not necessarily like a rampage, but you get the idea, lots and lots of monsters. But then I thought about it some more. And I was like, wait, that doesn't make a lot of sense. You don't want to be fighting
four of these things. I don't think those are large monsters. I think they're small monsters.
See, that's the thing. I don't think they're small monsters. I think we're getting a new category of monsters, which are medium monsters. No, it's like, it's going to be like, my thought process is we're going to get like this new category of monsters where imagine, for instance, when you're fighting like a great baggie. You know, he has his little small baggies and whatnot.
Yeah, give him like one breakable part and
No, but what I mean is like you have your great baggies and he's got the little baggies around him. What is the logical reason why there's not two great baggies? It's not like the monster's too hard. So there could be two of them, and they could be like either mates or they could just be friends or whatever. You could have three of them. Imagine this in the terms of like a great Jaggy as well. You can have like two or three of those as well. They're not too hard. They're just smaller monsters. But instead of you fighting them one-on-one, now you fight them in herds. So like you would fight whenever you fight a Gossarog, it's more of a three or four of them encounter. And it's like a major thing. But it would be the equivalent of one hunt of like a normal monster, like a Rathalos or something like that. When I say Gossarog, I mean like that desert Gossarog that we see in.
I think that would be a cool system, the medium. I still think that what we're seeing in the trailer is most likely small monsters, only for the fact that like you don't see developed horns on them. You know how like a lot of animals in the wild, you've got like the pure white coats, like when they're children, like penguins, they're more darker. Like they feel more adolescent to me, just the way. And the prey that they're going after is just these stupid herbivore things that are just. Chilling.
Because this thing has been playing on loop, I just noticed something that I hadn't noticed before. They actually grab those armadillos with the mouth.
And chuck them, Oh, they have
like,
the mouth.
Holy crap. That's insane.
Yeah, and one of them does almost like a Arzeros kind of like throws it across. They're just going crazy.
That was in the storm, yeah. But yeah, I don't know. That's kind of like my theory for the medium monsters.
Interesting. I think that would be a cool idea. I think they need to. There's plenty of opportunity to spice it up between small monster and large monster, you know.
We haven't really answered the question of whether or not we think it's open world. I kind of feel like we veered off at some point.
I think open world is a hard thing to define, right? There's Elden Ring, Elden Ring open world. There's like walking simulators. They're like, Skyrim and stuff like that. Then there's, you know, there's like semi-open worlds like FF, where it's like it's still
like
zoned, but they're really,
Gates.
Really big.
Baldur's Gate
yeah,
is also
but
kind
I
of like
mean,
a semi-open world, yeah.
you know, and Guiding Lands was kind of open world, but it was small scale, so like.
Do you
I
think
don't
that
think it'd be open
everything?
world in that every like your camp is like you fly over and there's like the camp or the town, right? And it's right there and you can just leave the town, go right into the forest, and it's all living and breathing. That I think that type of
You don't think
MMO
that's
open world,
you don't think that's it?
I want it, but I don't know if
I
that's
actually
it. I don't
I think
want
it might be that. Because again,
that would be awesome.
because of the mount. Whenever you put this much emphasis on the mount, it tells me that you're trying to go for something really ambitious, and you don't want to have like all of these loading zones or stuff like that. But I don't know how they'll manipulate the state of the world, because like we also see that that moment where you referred in your video, like, oh, there's all this sandstorm stuff going on, and then it clears up
and you
it's
get like the
golden.
ancestral steep almost
the ancestral steps of four.
How are they gonna get that running on the Xbox Series S with its memory issues?
Oh my god, dude, I don't oof. Feels
oof,
bad.
Oof.
I mean,
feels
S is
bad,
going
man.
To stream it. Microsoft's going to be like, okay, guys, at this point, you can just like put it in the cloud. Okay. It'll be in the cloud waiting for you. That's what you get. Sorry. Feels bad, but we got to move on, dude. The S is holding things back a little bit, 100%.
It is. I mean, I would say
it's a good system, but it is holding things back very much. Like, I don't think this is going to be on the Switch, even on a Switch 2. I don't know if this thing would run on a Switch 2, because like I think the Switch 2 will
not
probably
if it's the same
be,
concept of a small device, you know.
Yeah,
there
think
are limits.
Switch 2 will probably be targeting like PS4 level hardware, maybe a little bit more like PS4 Pro or something like that.
Yeah.
This does not seem like the kind of game that you would want running on that.
However, there was actually a really good point brought up by John on Digital Foundry. They were having a discussion recently, and they were talking about how, you know, getting Baldur's Gate running on the Xbox, which it just released today on Xbox.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of a good tool because it keeps developers in check, because, like, if they have to run it and make a version for that system, that if they have some like super high polygon banana just floating there in the tree and they didn't realize it, like it helps
they
them
have to,
optimize
yeah.
it, which will optimize for even the higher end systems as well. So it could be, I mean, I don't think it would run very well, but if it runs, then it probably means some good stuff for the main baseline systems, right? So it might not all be a bad thing. But yeah, next generation, I hope they don't split up memory and CPU, GPU.
Absolutely, but, absolutely insane. It's just
okay,
like
I got to ask you a question, because it's so tinfoil and so stupid that I didn't even mention it in my video because people would laugh at me and call me an idiot. But when I saw that like circular thing in the middle at the end, like
yeah.
a key visual.
Looks like
I
a
was
portal
thinking,
almost.
I was thinking two things. The first thought, I had to go and wash my mouth and my brain. I scrubbed it with bleach and
oh god,
stuff
connect,
like that. It was like, oh my god,
the
blue thunder lightning. It kind of reminds me of the movie Monster Hunter.
Oh no!
I was like, no, we're not going there. But then I looked at it and I realized what it was reminding me of was Uragan Alley in The Elder's Recess, where it's like the circular motions because of all those years of him rolling around on it. I'm like.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started going through all the concept art. I'm like, is this taking place like before Monster Hunter World? Like, is this because it's a rudimentary slinger? It's not like a fully fledged slinger. Like, is this
so,
like before the first fleet
so
arrived
like
or something? Or is this the first fleet or like a prequel? Like, is this the Elder's Recess before it like got all crystallized? I don't know. Like, that was where my brain was going, because
like
you see things that look like the Wildspire Waste. You see things that look like The Elder's Recess.
I don't think
and
I
then,
don't think it's a prequel. I think it takes place in the new world.
Yeah. I was just looking at that. It reminded me of Uragan Alley. So I was just kind of like,
No, I think it makes sense. I think it makes sense. But I don't know if that would be the case or not. But I do think it takes place in the new world. I think it does. Do you think?
I think that's a good enough assumption at this point, because especially I know like maybe people are considering it the new Monster Hunter logo, but like the Monster Hunter part of the logo, right? It's the same that they used for World. If the way that they displayed it, like Monster Hunter, like it looks like World, right? And then they put in the subtitle, it seems incredibly intentional to call out like, hey, if you liked World or Iceborne, this is the next
game. It even has a W on it as well. MHW, just like Monster Hunter World.
Now we got to call it, you know, do we call it MHWI? No, because that's World Iceborne.
No, you can't.
So you got to call it MH Wilds, which is just
that's the only way to do it. You can't do WI. They really just like, no, we're going to mess with your SEO. Deal with it.
Either that or like someone was really upset about Wild Hearts and they're like, you know, we need to kill all the search engine results. I don't want to have Hunter and Wild and have that game pop up because that's all that pops up right now on Google. And they're like, we're taking it over. The word wild belongs with Monster Hunter.
Oh my God, dude. That'd be the ultimate alpha move. Just like really just put her down. We're putting them down. I mean, pour one out for Wild Hearts because it's probably not going to be receiving any more support. It sucks because I actually enjoyed the game a lot.
Yeah. The thing I like about the logo, though, is like the intertwining serpents and the intertwining W on the font. And I think what we're looking at could be like all the regions, and maybe they all have like an extra state because of like the environment. So we have like, you know, thunderstorm
tundra.
That turns into like this golden, you know, thrush area. Like maybe all the areas have some like crazy like elemental based weather.
That's some more ammunition.
It's Eureka.
Yeah, that's what I was about to
Eureka,
say. Some more
baby.
Ammunition for your Eureka theory.
It's the ethereal storms kicking up.
Oh,
and
man.
There's special monsters that only appear during those storms.
So we have all of those things.
We have all the small monsters because you have to kill so many of the mobs to get a notorious mob to pop up.
No.
It makes total sense.
Stop.
It's Eureka. I'm swear to God, I'm gonna Photoshop like a picture of Kryle in here or something. It's gonna be
Kryle in Monster Hunter Wilds. But like we have those lightning rods that have been placed there. Like, does that mean was it us? Was it the hunters that put that there, or is that stuff from an old civilization? Maybe.
I don't know, because it's kind of like the weird, like Zelda, like ancient, like drawing on it when you see it get hit by the lightning rod, so it looks man-made for sure, but whether it's modern or not, I think is anyone's guess. The fact that it survived that long with just like a little rock base makes me think that this is something that they put up, but who knows? It's Monster Hunter; they can get away with some weird, stuff.
Because story is usually not really the main focus.
Yeah, but just make it fun.
I would like to see you know, something more akin to 4. I think 4 was able to tell a good story. I'd like to see
They're playing with us here. I think the whole golden yellow fields is a direct hit to say, hey, we got the same palette as Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, baby. Like, it's just, it seems way too intentional. I actually went back and looked at, like, the rock cliffs and the vegetation, and I can assure you it's not the same location.
Oh, it's
not. But it certainly channels that energy, you know?
So, do you think we're going to be able to swim in this game? Underwater combat.
Judging by the picture I'm seeing, no. But I
because it's desert. It's all deserty and stuff.
I mean, look at it. It's swamp, desert. There's a snowy mountain cliffs in the background. There's the rocky, you know, volcanic area. There's the savanna with like little rivers. I don't see. I think if swimming wasn't a big part of this thing, I think they would have showed something that hinted to it. But then again, it's just a reveal, so who knows?
Yeah,
right?
It's just like,
I would like
always
it.
Always wild speculation. No,
I would
the
like
wild
it.
Thing,
I think
the wild thing about Monster Hunter Wilds is the amount of speculation the community is going to be doing for 2024. We're going to be speculating on so many different things.
Like, you know, if we want to go back to this open world idea where you have a village, but if you go out and it's Eureka, right? There's like lots of, I'm sorry for all you guys who don't play Final Fantasy 14. I really am. But you're getting the idea probably already. But like, you know, if there's incentive for going out on expeditions that are, you know, longer excursions and, you know, preparing for it, it would be pretty cool if, even if the swimming is just a transitional element, can you imagine going to like the far back end, swimming down a river, you know, sort of like in Monster Hunter 3U, like when you went to that little cave with Laggy in the back. And like, you know, if you died, it'd be quite a trek back. Like, it's going to be like a good minute or two. So like, you don't want to die. And like, you adventure and you go through these areas and under the water into some hidden cavern where you fight this monster. I think that would be awesome, because those scenes, there was always the fear of getting not sent back to camp because you could fail the quest, but because it takes so damn long to get back to the arena. So like that was a legit concern. It wasn't just about the potions. So, you know, you would heal just thinking, I want to play it safe because I worked my butt off to get here. You know, like, initially, I'm not dying.
Initially, I even thought that this was potentially like not Monster Hunter 6. I considered that for a while.
I considered that it wasn't Monster Hunter. I'll be honest. When I first saw it, my first gut instinct was Monster Hunter. I held my breath because I didn't want to disappoint myself. The motion of the monsters, you know what I'm talking about? Like the Monster Hunter feel of like how the monsters move. Like there's just a thing. I felt it, but my idiot, because I was so involved with doing some other stuff on the side when they were announcing everything, like I was scatterbrained. So when I saw the thunder, I looked over and I just caught a glimpse of it. And I thought it was machines and electricity. So I'm like, oh no, this is like Horizon or some Monster Hunter clone.
Especially with because the music, like we talked about, the music.
It doesn't sound.
Yeah, it sounds very high tech, which kind of sets the stage for, I don't know, maybe a more advanced Monster Hunter almost. Because they're able to harness maybe a bit more technology.
Everything looks really analog here, though.
Yeah. But like I was saying, the thing that, because like I saw the whole trailer. And by the end of it, I was like, I don't know if this is Monster Hunter 6, because
it feels,
I mean, yes, after thinking about it for a while, because like, you know, it's 5 a.m, I'm watching this thing and I'm just like, oh, I don't know, man, it looks like a single player game. But then, you know, you start thinking, wait a minute, it's like, look, this is the cap off presentation of the friggin' Game Awards, bro. Like, they're not going to use that to announce a spinoff. It's not happening. So
they're just giving you a little taste.
Yeah, but I initially I thought that it could potentially be a spinoff, mostly because of the way in which they showed stuff. It almost made me think that it was a single player game.
You're saying before we saw the name and the logo, of course.
No. Even after seeing the name and the logo, it made me think, what? Man, it looks like a single player game.
You got the six heads.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
It's like very clearly Monster Hunter 6.
I know.
But I know. But you know what? That's a good sign. The fact that it is such a departure and feels so weird and different just from the first viewing, I think that's a really good sign, because it means that we're going to have a new experience, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I remember way back with Monster Hunter 4 when they showed a tech demo of, like, being chased by a Tigrex and then jumping down in destructible environments, climbing up, using the hunting knife on the edge, and then a Rathalos coming in, and it was like, what in the hell is this? Like, it seemed so bizarre at the time. But that was, like, adding verticality to the game, and it was amazing. And it was just a little taste. And so, like, I see this. It feels like Guiding Lands 2.0 again. But, like, it feels different. And there's no cat. And I don't think it's because there's no cat in the game. I think it's they just didn't choose to show it right
now. Yeah, they didn't choose to show it because I would expect there to be a Palico. Or maybe you have to choose between having
otherwise, you know, I give up playing Monster Hunter and I will become a Hello Kitty Adventure World YouTuber. And that's the rest
of my life. If it's not multiplayer, you're saying? You're like, no.
No Palicos, I'm out.
Oh, if it's no Palicos, you're out. That's it. Needs Palicos. Monster Hunter without Palicos. Gaijin's out.
Nope, I'm out.
I mean,
I wouldn't mind if they take them out but give us a Prowler game, I would be happy. That would work. I want a Prowler game. I've been recently going back and actually doing a few hunts in Generations Ultimate.
In GU?
Just for old time's sake. I really love playing as a Prowler. I really do. So.
Prowler is a ton of fun, but I still prefer playing as a hunter myself.
Yeah, so I would just say my message to those who watch it and are like, this feels awkward, like
feels
you're not
different.
Alone. It feels different for me too. But that
it feels
that
different
is what's
for all
exciting.
Of us. Yeah, but that's a good.
That's
thing.
Exciting. Like Capcom, his Monster Hunter team never delivered. They've always delivered, right? And track record for a team matters. And I've always said that. Again, you know, they've nailed it every time. So I have. They get my money before I even need to see a trailer. Like until they prove me wrong, they've got me. So I'm. I think there's a little too many lightning rods. It kind of made it feel like Horizon Zero Dawn type of like like little turret towers? Like, are we going to go around like
That's
Assassin's
the thing.
Creed and
I think
activate them all? Like, I don't want that.
I think there's going to be a mechanic to it. There has to be a mechanical aspect to it because you see the lightning
there's
rods.
There's so many of
them. And
then
you also see that one of those herbivore dudes, he can get affected by the lightning as well.
Yeah.
And those little spikes that he's got on the back. So
I didn't realize that, like someone said, like he becomes the lightning rod. And my eyes were just like, oh my God, did you see the minerals on his back? It turned into an ore. I want to go mine it.
Oh,
but
no,
I don't think that's
it.
The intention. I was like, that's no. Macolite. That's how it's made.
Yeah, lightning strikes an animal and it's like, now it's Macolite. Let's go.
That's an earth crystal. Give me that.
We need to go get that. Get some armor spheres and stuff like that. But yeah.
And I could see where like having tons of small monsters is not exciting for people who only care about the arena.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you versus boss, which is me as well to an extent. But, you know, until we see the full breadth of the game, don't knock it until you know what you're looking at, right?
It makes you wonder if they haven't done something as densely populated as this before is because their engine technology hadn't caught up to it yet, and they were like, oh, we want these things to feel massive. Because, like,
yeah. Look at who the director probably is. This has to be Tokuda, right? Like, he did World. I'm sure this is him. And we've talked about him a lot in the past, and, like, he has that grand vision of a living, breathing world. Like, that's been his vision for Monster Hunter since he played the first game at Tokyo Game Show and decided to join Capcom to make it better.
Yeah.
Like, redesigning the monsters to be more realistic, having a more rich environment. Like, it all seems like what you say, the part of the plan.
The thing also is, like, because, again, I keep watching this thing on loop and I'm always thinking about new things. But, like, if you look at the sheer scale of the map that is being shown, and you compare that to, say, the Ancient Forest, which is a massive map, but it's like the Ancient Forest compared to this almost feels claustrophobic. Like, there's just so much map here. The scale is absolutely friggin' insane, which is why they're like, oh, we have this scale, so now we can fill it up with a bunch of, like, herds of monsters and whatnot.
Yeah.
And it makes sense.
So, yeah, it's... I'm curious what's going to happen when we have the one-on-one in the middle of that. Is it going to feel like the old games with a bigger arena, or is it gonna, or is the environment always gonna keep us on the move? You know, I don't know.
I hope we have to stay on the move. I think it makes more sense because, I mean, you know, Rathalos isn't gonna keep fighting you when he can fly. It's like, oh, I'm losing, screw this, I'm flying. Maybe you even need like specific mechanics to get them off the air or something. I don't know, but that'll definitely be interesting because like, I can see so much potential for how the hunt goes in here because it's not just, oh, we fly here, there's an arena. Like, you have a map and there's like five different arenas in that map. And you already know, okay, if he's going there, he's going to this arena. If he's going here, he's going to that arena. You can even get there before they do. Whereas with something like this, as open as this, it just opens a lot of possibilities for how to do combat.
The atmosphere is great, though. I love that. I think the environmental atmosphere is great. Being able to glide around is cool. Big map's cool. But then it just goes into, hey, is small and medium monster fighting going to be integral? And the large monster is going to be a more lesser special thing or what? I don't know. I have no idea.
We don't know. I think.
But
I'm
just happy it's not
big monsters.
Yeah. Of course, it's Monster Hunter, right? So I'm just happy that it's not like just like, oh, yeah. That's cool. Monster Hunter 6. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it gets you thinking. That's the beauty of it. It's not like, oh, here's like two monster fights. Look, it's just like Monster Hunter World. Like, what they show here is very different.
Yeah. Like, I will throw out there, though, like, if that is a bowgun, like I think it is, and I know it is, like that, I had a small little moment of trauma where I had to, like, you know, put some cold water on my face because that's the base slap design that they use in World for a lot of those light bow guns where they just hit the slap. I'm like, I don't want that. Get that out of
No.
Want designed weapons. I don't want any of that.
I remember we used to call a name. It was Randy Pitchbone because for some reason we were making fun of Randy Pitchford. And so there was a dude at Capcom who's called like Randy Pitchbone. And it's like whenever it came to designing weapons, he would go in there and just ruin everything. Like the Brocky Dios gun lance, you look at it's like, what is this? The Glavinos gun, what have you done?
Well, the
you
other thing
monster.
That I mean, the other, I won't lie, the other thing that got me, and this just shows how traumatized I am from that horror deal, was the final key visual, the final key shot. You've got like the rods, right?
Yeah.
The one on screen right looks like a damn lance. Like there was that like really generic, like just like metal pole lance that they had in Monster Underworld. Mm-hmm. It looks just like it.
Maybe
it looks like a slap on lance with a little mud on the bottom. Look, it's a Baroth lance.
Maybe lance users can become lightning rods too. imagine like He-Man, they put the lance up, lightning strike, He-Man. Lance mains become He-Man, dude, and the masters of the universe. Oh my god. No, but it's like there's really not much more to go on when it comes to, yeah.
Can
to
I give
Wilds
you,
at this point.
Can I give you the most controversial opinion, though?
Give me.
I didn't need to see Rathalos again. I like, let him. I know he's the series flagship, but like, retire his ass. I'm bored of him. Unless he's doing something new, I'm kind of like,
listen.
He's in every single game. Like, and his drop rates are shit for me.
This by the
I,
same
I told
man.
You, I told listen. You, I tell you the same, I told you about Monster Hunter 3G, and I had to do, what's it, 102G rank freaking Rathalos in order to get my first goddamn mantle or whatever. Like, I never made any of the Azure Rathalos stuff. I have no affinity for this monster. He's a stingy little biatch. I mean, I don't know how else to put it.
I just want to point out.
I'm not a fan.
Just want to point out this by the same man that just says, no Palicos, I quit.
Well, they evolve, unlike Rathalos. They're always different. They do different stuff.
Hey, Rathalos did different stuff in Sunbreak. He had like his little flame breath attack that he did.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But
I mean, it's fine. He's there. But I think...
I like Rathalos, dude. He's like one of my favorite monsters. What's the big deal?
Actually, I mean, looking at a still of this, I know that there's a shadow of him and everything, but I wouldn't doubt that he's faked in there right now. Like, this could be a composite. It might not even be integrated yet.
Oh, you mean like he's the AI is not ready to have a Rathalos?
Yeah, maybe he's on a translucent background. They just put him in.
He's in a green screen.
They faked him.
Chroma key that Rathalos in there.
I mean, look at this thing we're riding. It looks almost like a Macau. It's got great colors. There's that horrible slap on bowgun. We'll ignore that. The greatsword looks great.
Yeah.
You just got Rathalos just flying in the air like, yep, it's me again.
Stop.
It's Bob.
Stop being mean to Rathalos, okay? Rathalos
I'll
didn't do anything
Bob.
To you. Bob? Really?
Bob.
Randy. Hey. Randy the Rathalos. Roy the Rathalos. Something with
yeah, I don't dislike him, but, you know, I think if you're going to show a large monster, like...
You should show Basil Goose, I agree. Yeah, Basil yes. Goose is the way.
Yeah. You're flying in.
Just shows up, drops a couple pine cones. Basil Goose is the best monster, dude. The best monster.
Plus, Rathalos is a lazy SOB. Did you notice he's flying in the direction that the gales were going? He's just riding the winds.
He's just floating.
He's not even putting in effort, you know?
He doesn't have
just
to.
Like, shoo!
He's awesome. Jesus Christ.
I want to see him accidentally run into a lightning rod and fall down like an idiot. You know, like those, like, you know, candid camera videos where they just like walk with his cell phone and hit in the wall or something. Or I want to see him get struck by lightning and fall out.
What if that's a mechanic to get them out of the sky?
Lightning rod in the path that they normally go to their nest?
Yeah.
Yeah, then
they're just flying right.
Man, I would have clips for days of me dropping them down through lightning bolts. That'd
I mean,
great.
I can already see like Kanta
five
and,
heartbreaks
and
Seth. Seth would have a blast. Yeah.
Kanta, Seth, Sunhee Legend, all of them like just doing clips of killing stuff with lightning. That'll
be
some awesome times. But yeah, that's Monster Hunter Wilds. That's our speculation so far. I guess we can touch up on the game.
But we're not going to be able to talk about this for like another half a year.
No, we're gonna come up with more theories. I'm sure. People are gonna.
I'm sure there's gonna be some type of media interview where they say something. and you know,
I mean,
we'll
listen,
snatch it.
I'm gonna call Jono, and I'm gonna put him through the ringer. It's just that simple. I'm gonna squeeze yep. blood out of him until I get all
actually,
of the juice.
Actually, Jono's not your man. I think he tweeted out who the community manager is.
No, he is. One. He is for EU.
Oh, he's for EU, right?
For EU, yeah. And then there's the other dude that does the US.
Hey, thing. And you know who the community for Japan is? Community manager position doesn't exist in Japan. Are you crazy?
I thought you were gonna say it's that
we got the legal department that likes to take down videos, but like no, that whole concept is still lost in this country, unfortunately. But
the video takedowns. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I didn't know if you wanted to talk about it, but I figure may as well.
Yeah,
briefly.
Yeah, definitely. Like I talked about it a little bit yesterday. Because like the thing is, when this happened was the day where I was like hit with the sickness the most. So I was pretty much offline. Like I was like, bro, I can't deal with anything. I'm dying inside. Stop. I don't care. But you know, yesterday people brought it to my attention. I saw some of Super Rad's tweets and whatnot. And there's apparently been 10 content creators that have been affected by that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, for the skinny, I guess, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that someone in, you know, Capcom legal's department's having fun, or some company they hired is having fun.
Oh, yeah, wait, sorry.
And striking videos.
I need to set this up for people that don't know what the thing is.
Yes, you do it. You do it.
So the context is, you guys know how people do mods in Monster Hunter. And, you know, Capcom's always been a little bit like, yeah, we don't really, mods and stuff. You know, they don't really engage too much when it comes to mods and emulation or any of that stuff. And it is like, I think it's written in the official website that they consider it cheating. Anything that is not an approved
mod. Oh, the worst possible translation
cheating.
Most awkward Japanese ever at their GDC or whatever, say like, it violates public morale.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
Something
cheating,
like that.
Yes.
So basically what happened was a couple of days ago, I guess, a bunch of creators that do mod stuff in Monster Hunter were receiving actual copyright strikes. Not copyright claims. Copyright claims, you get those a dime a dozen. It's not usually a big deal and you handle those. Copyright strikes is the type of shit that will delete your channel. That is like,
I had
that's
to scare myself.
That's the nuclear option right there. The copyright strikes are very serious business when it comes to YouTube. And so when I first heard about this, I was like, okay, so this has to be the Japan branch. I don't see in any way like the U.S. branch or the European branch being like, oh, yeah, let's copyright
attack
strike.
Our community.
Let's attack this community that we've worked so hard to build and to, you know, try to form some type of relationship with. Let's just go ahead and strike their videos. This seems like a good idea. And as a matter of fact, people were saying that like most people were able to get the strikes sorted out, but I think they had to delete the videos. But through community managers or whatever, apparently they were able to like sort everything out and not keep the strikes on the channel. But yeah, it's a rough situation. But keep going. You were gonna say?
Yeah, and you know my views on this have actually changed quite a bit. Believe
it or
not. And it's because of Final Fantasy 14. I've never been exposed to a modding community or just the concept of modding, right?
Okay.
Like, it's never... Like, I always thought that most of the mods were, you know, invasive, affects other people's gameplay, has no place whatsoever in an online game.
Oh, that was your view, like, in the past?
Yeah, because that's what we had happen in Monster Hunter in the past. Like, we had guild quests that would break people's save data and just horrible stuff going on.
Okay, you guys.
So, like, my view was not really modding. It was thinking, if it's a single player game, do whatever the hell you want. I really don't. I think it's fine. Whatever, unless you're doing something illegal, like unlocking DLC that technically should be paid for, or you're doing something that affects someone's online experience, whether it's running a nude mod or running a cheat that allows you to react faster. Anything that infringes on that is wrong.
There's also a theory. Did you hear about what happened in that Street Fighter tournament where one of the organizers apparently had a mod where Chun-Li was naked? And so this is like an official tournament, and then suddenly the fighters start fighting, and there's a naked Chun-Li on screen, and people are going like, whoa,
Whoa.
Like, people are speculating that potentially that is one of the reasons why Capcom's like, hey, what the fuck are you guys? Stop. Okay, stop. Just don't do this. It's almost like there was also a time where people would have nude mods in 14, and Yoshi P came out and he had to say, look, guys, you do whatever you want, but please don't make nude Lalafells. That's fucked up.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, that was my view, right? So, like, and there's never been really good any, like, data mining or screwing with data has always been bad in Monster Hunter, and it's an online game. That being said, so, like, it's weird. You say, like, you know, but there are people who enjoy it for visual reasons, right? Which is a crowd that I never understood because I was never part of a game that did that, but, like, being able to enjoy different skins for your weapons or your characters and taking screenshots and just G-posing all day and stuff like that. Like, I get that, you know? And that's an innocent, if anything, that's a more engaging way that players keep themselves playing your game. So I understand, like, I still think it's a tough subject, right? With a game that's multiplayer. So, Square Enix has a pretty good stance where it's like, look, a lot of this stuff is innocent and fine. Some of it is not, though, and we can't distinguish between them, so we have to do a broad stroke. I think going after channels and striking is the wrong way to do it.
Yeah, I don't think that's the right way to do it.
I don't understand why in 2024 you can't have a program that does data validation. Like, hey, did you alter any of the textures? Did you do that? Did you do that? Or is this different? And then they just issue warnings, like, if you go online with that stuff, or they can ban you or something, right? Like, as long as you're not online and you're not sharing it publicly, it shouldn't matter, but...
The thing is, if you modify your textures, that's your client. When you go to somebody else's game, it doesn't show.
Yeah, they wouldn't see
it.
Yeah,
if you have a naked hunter and you go to somebody's game, they're not going to see it.
Yeah, they'll just see the
unless they have the
texture.
Same mod installed, at which point that's on them. So...
Yeah.
I just want to point out one quick thing. I remember when I first told you about G-pose and you were like, no, this is too complicated for me. I just want to hit the screenshot button. And now you're out here talking about, oh yeah, G-posing with different weapon skins and doing. It's like, bro, you know more about G-pose at this. You know more about G-pose at this point than me. But anyway, my view.
But
on
there
it,
is one thing I was not. I'm sorry. Before I forget, like. There's one point of modding that I'm so stupid and Summer Child naive, I did not realize it existed, that I was exposed to this time, which was, I didn't realize that some speedruns and videos, like, determining spawn position and stuff like that, I thought it was really just like, you know, I've been watching Summoning Salt for years, I think, okay, people just keep redoing their runs until they get the setup, you know, like, that's the RNG, but... Like, hearing about mods for spawn locations and stuff like that, I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, is that what the speedrun community does?
Oh, yeah. Of course. They want to remove the... As a matter of
fact... I mean, I'm not judging, tea, but, like, I did not know that. And then Chris brought up a good point, right? He's like, look, we've disclosed in our descriptions that we use something for a video, and that's called being, you know, clean and honest about something.
Yeah.
But now they got a video of Struck or something because they had it in the description, or at least that's the theory. So it's like, what do we? Are we no longer able to disclose it because it puts us in danger?
See, that's another thing that I was thinking, because I've been thinking a lot about features that I would want for the next Monster Hunter, and not just features that I would want, but features that'd be cool to have. And one of those
new
features. No,
I'm joking.
That was one of those features that I was thinking about, which is like a speedrun mode, wherein you don't get materials from the monster. Maybe you get like Zenny or something, I don't know, but you can set the parameters yourself where you can be like, okay, I want the monster to spawn here, I want it to, you know, modify
largest
the
size possible, yeah,
not largest size or smallest size, because usually they like getting the less HP to do it faster and whatnot, and, you know, no randomness on food buffs, none of this stuff, and you can just have a mode like that. And that way people That'd don't even cool. need to mod it. They don't have to worry about it.
Man, you could have a whole community. And then you can even have like a frame counter, like where it tells you how many frames it took to do it or whatever, like seconds or whatever. Like, you could have a really good community tool there. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
You should come. Are you listening? This is a good idea. And then you can have like, you know, like the Halo 3 Forge mode where you can like go in and do a replay and see it at different angles and stuff. Like, you imagine the amount of content they can get out of that?
The replay of a hunt, that would be amazing. But I think that's going to be rough, especially on an open world game. That'll be rough. But
I don't know. Halo 3 did it.
Yeah, but Halo...
It was awesome.
Yeah, it's
Halo
different.
Halo 3 game. On Xbox 360. Free camera.
As I was saying, my thought on the whole modding situation, as always, is like, look, whatever you do in your single player game, I don't care. You bought it, you cheat on it, you install 50 different mods. I don't think that's a problem. If you want to record it, I don't think that's a problem either. Put it on YouTube. Don't care. Teach people how to do it. Don't care. It doesn't matter. To me, the problem is always when you cross it into the multiplayer modes. That I don't like. Like, even if it's just like, say, oh, I cheated in consumables or something like that. I was like, no,
I don't like it.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all. So, I'm not a fan when you bring that type of stuff into the multiplayer scene. But, you know, each player their own, whatever. It's just usually I would avoid playing with people that do that type of stuff is what I'm saying.
Yeah. But I don't know. Capcom's got to figure it out, because for a company that's embracing PC as their main platform, like, doing banhammers on your overseas audience, where honestly the amount of brand damage or whatever is so minuscule.
Is there even brand damage in Monster Hunter if somebody decides to upload a video with a naked hunter?
No, I think it's like you're
saying.
No,
it's
I think it's the things like you're saying, like the sanctioned event and naked Chun-Li's, like that's a really bad look.
That's the problem. That I agree.
But,
like that.
But you don't go around stomping everybody to death just in case
that
happens.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, it's a weird situation. But I feel bad for anybody affected, so, and I hope whatever it is, they get it sorted.
Yeah, reach out to the community managers. Apparently, they're figuring it out. You got Jono in EU, and I forget the name of the dude that's in the US. But
I think the communities are really good, as long as there's clear guidelines, you know.
Jono did a post on Twitter where he talks about the two people that are handling Monster Hunter. So, like, if you've been affected by these copyright strikes, talk to them. They can probably help you figure that stuff out. They've always been very forthcoming with the community. I've never really seen something that I was like, oh, this was really bad. Like, they've always been super chill, so I'm pretty sure you can sort that out, hopefully. But Capcom Japan really needs to figure out, like, hey, maybe let's not just throw out content strikes out of nowhere. Maybe we start with a warning or a copyright claim or something, and then we figure it out from there. Copyright strikes aren't a joke, and they can end somebody's livelihood. It's something that you got to keep in mind. And, you know, for me, it doesn't affect me because I usually don't do mods, but I'm also not against mods for people that want to do something different. Like, I know, for instance, that Rage Gaming did a bunch of, like, modded monsters in World and Iceborne, because, like, they had, like, a White Fatalis and all of these different things, so... There's tons of modded monsters that I remember seeing them cover. I hope they didn't get affected by that, but yeah.
Unfortunate situation. So, fingers crossed to get it resolved.
Anyway, let's do a real quick
really quick
on the...
Yeah, because it's late.
Yeah, it's late. Gadget needs to go sleep, and I'm still feeling sick. So, but the Game Awards, what'd you think about it?
That was great. I mean, overall, I agree with everyone's sentiment that there should be more
your
time.
Your lover won the best.
I know. and he had one of the... it's so rude that they usher everybody off the stage now. Like, he had a really good speech. Like, a really good one.
Yeah. I thought it was awkward the way that, like... I was even telling people, like, look, right now... Jeff Keighley's in backstage. He's got a big red button that just says "Wrap it up," and it just cues the music and says "Get the fuck off my stage." Like, after Christopher
Judge. It's just so funny because, like, because he's like, he jokes about, "Hey, I went 7 minutes, har har har." It's like, okay, you just destroyed the format for everybody.
Yeah,
and now they're just rushing nice people joke. Off before they could say anything. It's just like, really, like you're spending all this time for Samsung ads, but you can't have someone give a 20-second speech on winning the award of a lifetime. Like, come on now. Like,
dude,
I agree with that sentiment, but I still like the show. Even with all of its dumb quirks, I'm happy there was no security issues this time. The games shown had a great variety. I thought the games that were announced, obviously it's going to be hit or miss depending on what you like. But for me, the sleeper one was the new game that's being made by the devs of Dead Cells. That looked fun.
Oh yeah, I remember the name of that. I think
Wind
it's is it
something?
No Rest for the Wicked? No, it's
No, no, no.
Winds Bound.
Yeah, or something like that.
Yeah, it's something like that. Yeah, that one
But
looked
that
cool,
looked
yeah.
pretty cool.
Yeah, I like the
FF16
animation.
DLC. I already finished the first DLC that
I
just came out today. It was
haven't even
great.
had a chance to play it, dude. I need to play that
Yeah,
stuff.
I'm not talking about it, but my advice to anybody here who has FF16, you know the name of the DLC probably, or you'll see it. Don't read anything about it in the shop. Don't look at it, any of the images. I bought it without even knowing what the theme was. I didn't even, like, I had no idea. I just like, oh yeah, DLC, yeah, I'm on it. And I played it, and going in blind was so great. So, like, I highly recommend that you try to do that. That was fun. And it seems like the really big DLC is going to be next year.
With some story stuff and whatnot. Did
You
you?
know, new mana game was unexpected. I mean, that's something I liked when I was younger. I don't play it anymore, but Hellblade 2, man, you know I've been looking forward to that like crazy. And
Hellblade 2 looking awesome.
Yuna, my daughter, finally played through Hellblade. She said, I want to play that game because
Oh.
she was really getting into
At
Norse
12.
myth. She's 14, dude.
Oh, she's 14 now. Yeah, right. I
Yeah,
keep
she's a
forgetting
young
that
adult.
time passes.
Yep.
Time actually
So,
passes.
I mean, she's going to be playing Baldur's Gate 3 later this month. You want to talk about mature
Oh yeah.
stuff?
She's going to be having sex with
So,
Asterion.
yes. But, like, Hellblade 2, she played the game and she loves it. It was really good. Like, the puzzles are great. The theme, the music, everything. They had like a really, I really liked the theme song. They did a stage performance of it, which probably made everybody like go like, "What the hell's going on here?" Because it was
Dude,
such, they're
they
so
messed
geeks about it. I love it.
No, but they messed it up. They messed up the audio mixing. I don't know if you're paying attention, but the audio mixing in the show was terrible. Like all of the music performances were super flat because they didn't do proper audio mixing.
Oh.
I instantly noticed it in that presentation because when you have a band like that does that type of music, you always want to have really heavy drums so that they bang on them so poof, poof. And there was nothing. It was super flat. I was like, wow, you guys really messed up the mixing on this. And then it just kept going, like all of the other musical presentations. Like the music was good, but it was flat. There was no proper mixing. It was really weird for me. But
Yeah, and then
did you hear the joke that Christopher Judge made about Call of Duty?
no, what did he say?
Jesus, he said.
I have to say that I never got to watch the full game show. Like I
Yeah.
had work. It was in the morning on a weekday, so I'm working and I'm side eyeballing the show,
Yeah.
so I didn't get to see
So
all of it, but
at the start of it's like, he said something about his speech last year, and it was like, hey, my speech last year was longer than this year's Call of Duty campaign. And he goes like, well, that's another company I'm never working for again. Bro, when he says that, I was like, oh my God, the sick fucking burns on this man.
Jesus.
Oh, that was good. I loved it. I thought it was amazing. No, but
Yeah, but
I wanted Ben Starr to win, though. I wanted
yeah,
Ben
I wanted
Starr
him
to
to
win, though.
win, but
He's such an amazing dude.
they both
They
should have
were both
won.
very
They're both
good. Yeah.
great.
Yeah. Neil
It's
New.
any one of them could have won, and I would not have been like, "Oh my God, it was robbed!"
Oh
Like
yeah,
they're both great.
100%, 100%. Like Nubon was like my second choice because here's the thing about Asterion is like the fact that he was able to make me hate Asterion with as much
I
passion as
love
I
that
did is such
character so
it's
much.
such a good it's a good performance if he makes me hate
I
him
would
as
die
much as
for
I
him.
did. It was
I'd
amazing.
die for him. We're
Okay.
t we're totally opposite ends of the pool on this character, but he also did a lot of voice direction for the game as well. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh no, I wasn't aware.
Yeah, he did voice direction. He was really involved.
Was the lady that was sitting next to him that looked like Shadowheart, was she the Shadowheart voice actress? I hope it
No,
was.
no, no,
It
no,
wasn't?
no, no.
She
That's
looked
not
just
no.
like Shadowheart.
I think I don't know who they were with, but I have a feeling that it was. They mentioned for the game of the year in the speech that they lost, you know, members of their
Yeah.
team, especially like a really, you know, prominent member. And it doesn't sound like they lost him to old age or anything. So,
Yeah, that sucked.
Neil looked like he was like crying during it because like it's just painful, but also proud for them because it speaks to the accomplishments they did. So, I have a feeling that he was there supporting. I think it may have been his wife or friend or brother. I have no idea, but they all seem really close. So
Sven also took out his armor, which is cool. Sven just shows up in armor.
What's the backstory behind that? Do you know it? I don't.
I mean, at one
all.
Point,
I'm one of the new mainstream people. I don't. During my the first Larian game, my first TRPG. Yeah.
During the development of Baldur's Gate 3, he would often, they would do these developer diaries because that game was in early access for like 3 years or something
like that.
And so they would be doing these updates and Sven would just show up in full plate armor. Like, that's it. He was just like, yep, let's do an update. And, it is what it is. He also had like a health potion and whatnot. Like, he had all of these crazy things. He would just show up like that. And to me,
I love dorks are great.
I'm just super happy that game won, because it's one of those things where you have so many people in the industry now pushing the narrative as like, well, in order for the game to make money, we need to do microtransactions here, and we need to, gotta have a zillion microtransactions. And he's like, no, we don't do that. No, it's all good. You buy the game, you get the game. It is what it is. I bought them just to support them more than anything. I bought the PlayStation
Physical?
Collector's Edition, whatever. It's the 100 euro or whatever the fuck. I was like, yep, sure, I'll buy that. Fine. I want a physical version of it anyway. So yeah.
Did you try the new patch? Like, I won't.
No. I haven't.
They've been improving the game a lot, but they added in a patch that was like 3,000 lines of dialogue. It's a whole ending, an epilogue that they added, and it's like huge.
Yeah,
and it's amazing.
I've been waiting. I'm like, I played the game once. I had a couple of disappointments in some aspects of the game. I still mostly love the game. I think the game is really good. I know that I have a clickbaity title in my channel. That's clickbait because it's YouTube, and I'm sorry, but. It's like, I still love the game. I still think the game is awesome. And it's like, I want to go back to it and I want to do the Dark Urge playthrough thing. It's just, I'm letting them cook. I'm like, let them cook. Let them really flesh everything out. And when I feel like there's way more stuff, then I'm going to go back in, play it again.
Yeah.
That's the way that I want to do
it. In two more weeks or so, when it comes out in Japan, I mean, we're going to co-op it. It's going to be awesome.
That's gonna be freaking sweet, dude. So, real quick, there was
for me it was cool. There's a bunch of other stuff. What games caught your eye?
So there's a game called Exodus, which gave me some serious Mass Effect vibes. And I know you're into Mass Effect, right? If I remember correctly.
I liked Mass Effect 1, and I adored Mass Effect 2, and I hated the franchise afterwards. So
okay. But it's like, if they captured that vibe, I was like, bro, it's a game called Exodus. So I'm curious about
Exodus,
that.
Exodus, okay.
They're putting out some God of War DLC as well, which is going to be
free. Yeah, what was up with that? It's a free update?
It's a free
in a few days?
Roguelike mode or something that you get
to
play.
Oh, it's a mode. It's not like a DLC thing?
It is a DLC. It's a free DLC, but it plays in like a roguelike fashion. I think there's something along those lines. Again,
I
was
free,
watching this at like 3 a.m, so I might be missing something, but I think it's kind of like roguelike. Like, death is an actual part of the mechanics of the game, because he dies, and dude that's smelling his ass, Mimir, goes like, it's a part of the process. But yeah, so that's interesting. There was this game called No Rest for the Wicked that was also pretty cool. Although I'm gonna be real, I know which one it is. Yeah, No Rest for the Wicked is one that's like an RPG, really super stylized action RPG. Looked very interesting.
Yeah.
Sega straight up announced a new Jet Set Radio like game, a new Golden Axe, a new Streets of Rage, and a new Crazy Taxi.
Wow.
Yeah, they just did like 4 or 5 announcements. I don't even remember all of them. I just pointed down Sega stuff because I plan on doing like a summary of the Game Awards later or whatnot. There was the Visions of Mana game, like you said. Rise of Ronin, rest in peace, because it releases on the same day as Dragon's Dogma. That is a terrible decision, dude. God damn. But yeah, there was another one called First Berserker Kazan. Looked interesting. Last Sentinel. Mecha Break. Apparently, Armored Core 6 did great. Some others. They probably were developing this before. It's going to be co-op, though. So it'll be interesting. And then I think one of the ones that caught my eye the most was Light No Fire. You know what that is?
Yes, it's the one that I could have swore it was going to be the Dauntless logo at the end. It looked like it was a Dauntless logo when it was coming out. I'm like,
no,
but it's not. It's a completely different studio.
No, it's from Hello Games. It's from the guys who made No Man's Sky. You ever played No Man's Sky?
No, but I've read and heard much about it. But I've heard the game is baller now, so.
Yeah, it's the game's actually fantastic now. But like No Man's Sky did a universe, right? Light No Fire, they're doing one planet.
Oh, nice. So they're just focusing it.
Yeah, they're just focusing on one planet. Looks like it's got some fantasy elements to it. It's got some sci-fi elements to it. It looks insane. Like, I'm totally here
good.
For it. Yeah. But yeah, that's the Game Awards. That's Monster Hunter Wild. Mm. Gaijin's looking to go get some sleep. I'm looking to go puke or something because I feel sick as hell.
Yeah, tomorrow we're doing more raids. So.
Yep.
More FF.
Have fun with that. But thank you all very
much. But now
you.
No, I'm sorry. It's the lag on Discord's horrible.
Yeah,
I'm getting like
on
a.
Discord's terrible.
It's like the ping is worse than like my ping to the European servers of FF. It's like really bad. So.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, I was just going to say, now you will never unsee Eureka the next time you look at Monster Hunter Wilds.
Probably if anybody's playing 14 and Monster, they'll be like, oh my god.
What would you do
like
if
Eureka?
They announce, like, you know, they always have like Hyper or Tempered or whatever, and they call it Notorious? Wouldn't that be hilarious?
That would be funny. Notorious is the name of the monsters that you summon in Eureka, for people that don't know. Yeah, that'd be pretty funny. Notorious monster. You've killed this amount of monsters. Now Notorious Rathalos has spawned.
Shows up.
Go
he's
him.
Gonna. The
And you have
you
like
have like a one-on-one.
Yeah.
With like Baja.
It's like an extreme version, yeah. But anyways, team,
okay.
That is
Good
going to be
with
it.
You, man.
It's always amazing chatting with you, Gaijin. That's going to be it for today's Third Fleet podcast. We'll see you guys in the next one. Stay strong, stay safe.
And apple wild hunting.
Apple wild hunting?
I meant to say happy wild hunting. That came out weird.